Next on Gospel of Life, we will talk with one of the nation's foremost experts on euthanasia and the so-called right to die. I'm Father Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. When people talk to me about the so-called right to die, I say to them, don't worry, you won't miss out on it. My friends, a right is a moral claim. We do not have a claim on death. It has a claim on us. And yet, it has been conquered in Jesus Christ. Today, as usual, joined by our Executive Director, Janet Morana, we're going to talk about this issue. And Janet, we're going to do so with the help of a good friend of ours, Wesley J. Smith, who has been, who is an attorney and who has been an expert in this area, advocating for the culture of life for the defenseless for many years. And he recently joined us at our offices.
That's right. And, you know, I can't think of an expert better than Wesley that talks about these issues in such a clear and concise way. And in particular, you had the opportunity recently to interview him. And believe me, it's a great interview. And why don't we take a look right now at Wesley, what he had to say when you spoke to him recently.
Well, it strikes me that the one thing that unites people who oppose euthanasia, for example, whether or not they're religious or secular, is the idea that this is destructive of universal human rights. And I like to point to Nat Hentoff, who is a great pro-life advocate, a great opponent of euthanasia, a great supporter, for example, of the right of Terri Schiavo to life. And he's an atheist. So you do not have to believe in God. You do not even have to be religious to support this concept that human life has to matter simply and merely because it's human life. Otherwise, there's no possibility of universal human rights. Because think about it. If human life, being human, isn't important just objectively because you're human, then what is the foundation for universal human rights? And what you find is that when people say no to the question, does life matter simply and merely because it's human, then they have to answer a second question, which is, well, then what does give life value? And people like Peter Singer, for example, will say, well, it's being a person. And we find that some human beings under this view are not persons. Therefore, for example, in his philosophy, permitting infanticide. And once you permit infanticide, you have no human rights, or at least not universal human rights. So it really is a crucial point. Standing up for the sanctity is standing up for the equality of human life, a predicate, a condition precedent, as we lawyers say, to universal human rights.
Now, one of the terms that you like to bring into this whole debate is human exceptionalism.
Right.
Tell us about that.
Human exceptionalism, I think, is a term that I've tried to make popularize, if you will, so that people will understand that being human matters. There is such an attempt today to say that human beings are the virus on the living planet Gaia, or some other anti-human kind of approach that we have to reduce our numbers by the billions in order to save the planet and this kind of thing. And human exceptionalism says being human is the most important moral component in terms of having moral value. But it doesn't just bring rights. It is, as I said in a previous question, the predicate to human rights. It also is the essential ingredient for human duties. We are the only known moral species in the universe. We are the only known species with duties. We have duties to each other. We have duties to animals to treat them humanely, for example. We have duties to treat the environment properly. If being human is not what gives us these duties, what does? And the answer is that is the only thing that can give us the duties. The fact that we're human beings, rights-bearing human beings, duties-bearing human beings, with an obligation to each other, to animals, and to the environment.
We were having an interesting discussion earlier, and of course both of us were very much involved in the Terri Schiavo case and helping people to understand what was going on in the midst of all that. But you said something very interesting earlier about that whole case left the American public, left the world,
literally,
with no more excuses. Tell us what you meant.
Right. You know, I've been dealing with these food and fluids cases for more than 10 years, and certainly Terri Schiavo is not the first such case. But it was the first such case to receive that kind of attention. And it used to be that when I would go and I'd speak about it, people would say, you know, almost like, I had no idea. They cannot say that ever again. The Terri Schiavo case, and frankly the gift I think Terri Schiavo gave to the world, is that no one can ever again say that we are not dehydrating to death people because of a quality of life judgment based on cognitive incapacity. In all 50 states in this country, and certainly now it's spreading throughout the world, based on what happened in America first. It's happening in Italy, it's happening in Australia, it's happening in the UK. People are having food and water taken away from them, not because they're at the end of their life, and sometimes when you're in that dying process, the body no longer eats and drinks, and it's natural not to have food and sustenance, and you don't force feed people in that situation. But that's not what we're talking about. People are having food and water, think about it, taken away because of cognitive disability. If you took food and water away from an African American, for example, we would say, that's bigotry, that's terrible bigotry. This is the same form of bigotry, just different victims.
You know, when people see leaders like ourselves in causes like this, they often wonder, how did we first get involved? What was the spark that led us into these battles? What was it for you?
I had a friend commit suicide under the influence of Hemlock Society literature, the Hemlock Society being now called Compassion and Choices. It used to be called the Hemlock Society, more honest previously. Mm. The euthanasia movement likes to use euphemisms, and Compassion and Choices is a euphemistic title for an organization that promotes assisted suicide and would promote euthanasia if that came along. But she was under the influence of Hemlock Society literature. It was called the Hemlock Quarterly in those days. And after she killed herself, I asked her executrix to send me materials. And I was stunned and appalled. I was literally shocked to my toes, because you had descriptions of how to kill yourself with what drugs, how to use a plastic bag to make sure you died. There was proselytizing, literally proselytizing for suicide. I remember one story of a woman who was going to kill herself laughing and giggling and seeming to relish the experience. That's a quote, and it so stuck with me. And my friend Francis underlined all of this in yellow ink, and I realized that these people who didn't know her gave her moral permission to kill herself and taught her how to do it. And I was so appalled by this. At that time, I was writing books with Ralph Nader, and I was so appalled by this, I wrote a piece for Newsweek magazine called The Whispers of Strangers. It came out on June 28, 1993, and I thought that was going to be my one contribution, if you will, to fighting euthanasia, and I thought my piece would be completely uncontroversial because I stood up against euthanasia, which of course seemed to me the absolute moral and ethical position to take. And I got so much hate mail. And this is before email. I can't imagine the volume I would have received if email was in at that time, that I thought to myself, what happened to my culture, and where was I when it happened? And at that point, I decided I had to start exercising some leadership in this field, and I began to work that area, and I wrote the first book on these issues that I wrote called Forced Exit, and that led to my realizing about what's going on in bioethics and the utilitarian bioethics movement, which led to my book Culture of Death. And then I saw the cloning issue out of all of that, which led to my book Consumer's Guide to a Brave New World. And now I'm just completing a book about the animal rights movement, which does have a connection with the a deconstruction of the value of human life, if you will. And I'm not talking about being nice to animals. As I've said, human exceptionalism requires us to treat animals humanely. Animal rights, properly understood, is not animal welfare. It's not being nice to animals. It's creating a moral equivalency between humans and animals. In other words, it's turning human beings into another animal in the forest. And if all we are is an animal rather than a human being, a splendid, magnificent human being, then the whole impetus towards human exceptionalism is destroyed. And again, that completely undermines human rights. If you think a cow and a human being are of equivalent value, it becomes, you're not going to necessarily give the cow rights, you're going to take away rights from the human being.
So that if we eat meat or if we have leather shoes or pocketbooks, then we become seen as killers.
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, has explicitly had a campaign called Holocaust on Your Plate, in which they equated eating meat with the Holocaust and said, if you have a leather handbag, if you have a leather couch, if you have leather shoes, it's the moral equivalent to a lampshade made from human skin. And I have to stress, this is not hyperbole for them. It's not metaphor them. For them, it's a literal belief system. It's almost a quasi-religion. And if you accept that version of animal rights, not the generic version of animal humaneness, mm-hmm. which sometimes animal rights is called, and that's an incorrect use of the term, but if you really believe in the ideology of animal rights, then you believe that animals and humans have equal moral worth, and our duties to humans and our duties to animals are the same. Human exceptionalism says our duties to humans are first and foremost and crucial to the sanctity and equality of all human life, and we also have other duties, including treating animals humanely and properly, not causing them to suffer gratuitously. And they call that being inhumane, meaning you're unhuman when you torture animals. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you also tell people, especially those that are involved in our cause, is never to use the V word.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, the V word is vegetable, which I don't like the term at all, as if any human being can be a carrot, as if any human being can be a turnip. I consider the V word to be as awful as the N word, and we know the N word was used and is used to denigrate human beings, to dehumanize them, and make it okay to oppress and exploit them because all they are is our ends, right? And of course, it's an evil word. It's a pernicious word. The V word has the same purpose. Oh, that person's just a vegetable. What does that mean? That means we can dehydrate them to death. There are people in secular bioethics who are saying we should be able to take their organs because all they are Vs, right? And even experiment on them medically. And in the presentation I gave to your leadership, I pointed out and I quoted from bioethical literature in the highest levels of bioethics and medical journal levels, where they were advocating, literally, treating human beings because they had significant cognitive disabilities if they were lab rats. When you use a word like V, and when you use a word like N, what you're saying about that person who you are using those epithets about is that they are less than human. And once you agree that somebody is less than human, once you define them that way, that's how you're going to use them. And that's the huge problem with the V word.
Well, we're very grateful to Wesley for those insights, and we'll be back after this break to explore them a little bit more. So please stay with us.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Now you can make a difference in the lives of the unborn for as little as $12. Make your donation today and we'll send you a copy of the pro-life masterpiece, Earth's Trash, Heaven's Treasure. Vivid imagery and striking colors come together in a painting that captures the essence of eternal hope for the unborn. You'll help change the hearts and lives of people everywhere. Plus, you'll have a treasured piece of artwork that serves as a daily reminder of the beauty of precious living souls. Make your donation today.
Well, welcome back. We are in this episode talking about the so-called right to die and euthanasia, and we saw a clip from Wesley Smith. And Janet Wesley, he's an author, he's an attorney. He spoke in this clip about the fact that, you know, human life really matters. And that's where the culture of life and the culture of death find their basic difference. When we look at human beings, you know, people, because even the pro-abortion people, they're more and more admitting, yes, abortion kills a human being, but then they're saying, so what? So what? It doesn't really matter. And Wesley was saying, no, the philosophy here, the idea that we have to defend is there is something so special about human beings that you cannot look at them as disposable. You cannot look at them as equal to animals or other aspects of creation.
Yeah, in particular when he talks about the animals, you know, he's saying that, well, yes, it's okay, like you always say, Father, it's okay to protect the sea turtles, you know, and their eggs and all this stuff. But somehow humans have a higher order here, a higher priority in life. And he makes that point quite clearly.
It is only of human beings that it is said in Scripture we were made in the image and likeness of God. Or everything else was made by God. Scripture says that all creation reflects the glory of God? It does. The mountains reflect his majesty. The waterfalls reflect his power. The lightning, everything reflects some aspect of God. Science itself is uncovering the wisdom and intelligence and order of God. But only we bear the image of God. And Wesley, of course, was making the very valid point. Atheists and agnostics can acknowledge, and you can make the point with them about universal human rights. But when we as believers come to this topic, we have all the more motivation and reason to say, yes, human beings are special, and you don't tamper with human rights.
That's right. And, of course, the other final points he made about is assisted suicide, and that the whole propaganda that that whole community of people espouse is such a great danger to us.
Not that they're just allowing people to die. They're making people. They want people to die. They want to push them out of the way.
That's right.
Well, thanks, Janet. We'll talk more about this. We'll be back with another episode of Wesley Smith next week. And meanwhile, let's join together to continue to advance the culture of life. And after this break, we'll bring you more ideas about what you can do to do precisely that. Stay with us.
There is a crisis in America. A Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ, and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in Haley, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Friends, welcome to our action segment. If you enjoy watching these Gospel of Life programs, you'll really love what's on this DVD that I have in my hand. You can receive it every month, powerful pro-life information from our friends at Life Dynamics, where we tape these programs. It's called Life Talk, approximately an hour worth of information-packed pro-life, up-to-date interviews, news, and resources. Janet, this is really something that, you know, has been out for years, and more pro-life people need to know about this.
That's right. Well, first of all, it's very easy to watch. There's different segments, you know, during the hour-long. So, for example, you might say, well, I don't have time to sit and watch for a whole hour a particular program. Well, it's divided into, like you just said, Father, a news segment, which tells you the pro-life news going on that month in the country. Then there's what's called Pro-Life 101, and that's where Mark Crutcher, the founder of Life Talk and Life Dynamics, gives you some basic pro-life arguments, things that you need to help discuss this issue with your friends and family. Then, of course, there's current events, like I said, which is kind of like news. And then, of course, we ourselves at Gospel of Life have our own 12-minute segment that they view each month on the Life Talk show. And then finally, they also have additional people that they've interviewed. And people like Dr. Alveda King has been on Life Talk and so many other notable people. The other thing that's good about this Life Talk subscription is that it's a subscription that comes once a month right to your home, a simple little DVD, and it's so reasonable. It's $25 for a whole one-year subscription. I mean, when you think about that, where could you get 12 DVDs for $25?
It's just about $2 a DVD.
$2 a DVD, yeah. And it's a great resource. I know people that use this each month for their pro-life meeting. Mm-hmm. I know youth ministers that use it once a month with their youth group, and the young folks love it because it really shows them what's going on, and it encourages them to get involved in the battle and get involved, you know, in the pro-life
movement.
Well,
there's no question, too, that this is not just ordinary pro-life information. You'll find things on Life Talk that you won't hear anywhere else.
That's
because
right.
Life Dynamics and those who are in collaboration with them are right on the front lines, the cutting edge of what is developing within the pro-life movement and in the abortion industry. One
That's
of
right.
the key strengths of this is that you'll understand better how the other side thinks than you ever have before, because Life Dynamics has done years and years of infiltration into the abortion industry, and we've benefited from a lot of that at our ministry as well. And they have the transcripts of the conferences that the abortionists mm-hmm. themselves have, and the different infiltration gives you an understanding of how they think. And if you know how they think, then you know how to counteract it.
That's right. And they follow these up-to-the-minute news stories. So, for example, people have heard us on these programs refer to George Tilla, that infamous abortionist who does the late-term abortions out in Wichita, Kansas. And we know that there's litigation currently against him. Well, if you want to find out what's going on, Life Talk is the answer. They keep track of these cases. And many times in the program, we'll talk about an abortion clinic has closed. Well, how do they think we get this information? It's Life Talk and Life Dynamics that goes to those places, gives us that footage, and keeps us up to date as what's happening.
Groups can promote this on their website, in their newsletters, to their email lists. Pastors can make it available in their churches. We encourage all of those activities.
Well, again, contact us at Gospel Life, and we'll send them a free sample of Life Talk, absolutely free. If they like it, then they can subscribe. But send for the free sample today.
Friends, thank you for watching Gospel of Life. What we are asking you to do is also support our ministry so that we can bring you these programs, so that our pastoral team can continue to give pro-life talks around the country and training that people so need and look for. Also, GospelOfLife.com, make our website a key website that you go to, and tell your friends about all of these activities. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week. In the meanwhile, let's pray for one another that we may advance a culture of life.
You are looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion. Haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America.
a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Father Frank A. Pavone, director of Gospel of Life Ministries, is an internationally known pro-life activist, speaker, and author. He has been the national director of Priests for Life since 1993 and appears regularly in the religious and secular media. He has served at the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Family. He has been a spiritual guide for Norma McCorvey, the former Jane Roe of the Supreme Court's abortion decision, Roe v. Wade. Father Frank is president of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, an umbrella group of many denominations working to end abortion. Father Frank is also the national pastoral director and board chairman of Rachel's Vineyard, the world's largest ministry of healing after abortion. Father Frank is a Catholic priest of the Diocese of Amarillo, Texas, and carries out his pro-life mission with the permission of his bishop. For more information on Father Frank and Priests for Life, visit www.priestsforlife.org. The Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.